last Tuesday night, November the 5th, that happened.
For a reason tonight, and the reason is going to be just that. We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
Donald Trump won the 2024 election to become the 47th president of the United States because enough Americans realized our nation was in serious trouble and voted to save it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. But before anybody thinks we got her all done now so we can just move on to the Super Bowl and keep binge-watching Squid Game, we need to realize even though the election is over, the battle for righteousness and the soul of this nation and the salvation of everybody in it is just getting started. Because that victory that Donald Trump won on November the 5th was far more than political. And if we don't understand that, we're going to miss the greatest opportunity the church has ever had and the last opportunity the church is ever going to get to make America born again and godly again before Jesus comes back. So we're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Don't Waste the Victory, looking at all kinds of things we need to do to maximize that victory that Donald Trump won on November the 5th. Exactly the same kind of victory that was won by King Jehu, the northern kingdom of Israel, 800 years before the birth of Christ. And we're going to start this series this morning by simply looking at what that victory itself is really all about. And to see that, we turn today to 2 Kings chapter 9 and verses 1 to 13. You're have your Bibles, turn with me please, 2 Kings chapter 9, starting at verse 1. The prophet Elisha summoned a man from the company of the prophets and said to him, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take this flask of oil with you, and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go to him, get him away from his companions, and take him into an inner room. Then take the flask and pour the oil on his head and declare, 'This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel.' Then open the door and run. Don't delay." So the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he arrived, he found the army officers sitting together. "I have a message for you, commander," he said. "For which of us?" asked Jehu. "For you, commander," he replied. Jehu got up and went into the house. Then the prophet poured the oil on Jehu's head and declared, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anoint you king over the Lord's people Israel. You are to destroy the house of Ahab, your master, and I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the Lord's servants shed by Jezebel. The whole house of Ahab will perish. I will cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. As for Jezebel, dogs will devour her on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and no one will bury her." Then he opened the door and ran. When Jehu went out to his fellow officers, one of them asked him, "Is everything all right? Why did this madman come to you? You know the man and the sort of things he says," Jehu replied. "That's not true," they said. "Tell us." Jehu said, "Here is what he told me. This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel." They hurried and took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, about this victory that was won for America, Lord, through Donald Trump, and how it's like the victory of King Jehu for Israel. I pray you just show us, Lord, how much we need that victory, how much we need that Jehu anointing for the times we're living in. Pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. If there is ever a person in the Bible who is like Donald Trump, it's King Jehu of Israel. And in our text today, Jehu is anointed as king over Israel. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that the victory that Jehu won for Israel is exactly like the victory that Donald Trump won for America. Our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 to 13, tells us three things that we need to do to wise up about this victory so we can maximize it for the kingdom of God and the salvation of our country. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to wise up about this victory, we need to realize that it was ordained by God's hand. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 1 to 3. It was like that for Jehu. Verses 1 to 3, a student of the Elisha College of Prophetic Knowledge goes to the capital city of Ramoth-Gilead to anoint Jehu the next king of Israel. And he couldn't have just zoomed it because he actually had to pour the oil on Jehu's head. And notice the text here doesn't even tell us what that prophet's name is. And why? Because he wasn't picking Jehu, God was. Exactly the same thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump has not taken office now because 2,000 mules did mail-in ballot dumps at 2 a.m. on election night. Or because Donald Trump was the French fry guy at McDonald's or drove a garbage truck in Wisconsin. Donald Trump wasn't just chosen by man. He was ordained by God for a special purpose. Just like every single one of you was ordained by God for a special purpose. And why Donald Trump? Because his country needed him. Just like the northern kingdom of Israel needed Jehu. Because the northern kingdom of Israel, 800 years before the birth of Christ, was an absolute train wreck. Just like America is today in 2025. Israel's surrounded by enemies that wanted to destroy him. America's surrounded by enemies that want to destroy us. Israel was divided, northern kingdom and southern kingdom, this close to civil war. America's divided red states and blue states, this close to civil war. The northern kingdom was ruled by an evil dynasty. King Zimri, Omri, Ahab, and his wife Jezebel, the wicked witch of the west, and then Ahaziah, and then Joram. America's been ruled by an evil dynasty. That started with Bill and Hillary Clinton. Then it was Barack Obama for two terms. Then Hillary Clinton was supposed to be Barack Obama's third term. And then Joe Biden, Barack Obama's fourth term. And then Kamala Harris was supposed to be Barack Obama's fifth term. Barack Obama still lives 5 miles from the White House, folks. The only president in the history of this country that never left Washington, D.C. after he left office. And what did the evil dynasty bring to the northern kingdom of Israel? Baal worship. Male and female gods, Baal and Asherah. Who were worshipped with sexual perversion and temple prostitutes and child sacrifice. Sound familiar? Because what did the leftist dynasty bring to America? The religion of wokeism with sexual perversion and queering your kids. And child sacrifice called abortion. And folks, abortion is worse now than ever, even after Roe versus Wade was overturned. J.B. Pritzker now has mobile abortion units all along the borders of Illinois so that women from the surrounding pro-life states can cross into our state and murder their baby in a drive-by, worshiping the God of child sacrifice. One out of every four women now in America will have an abortion. One out of four. That's a higher percentage of any other country in the world. No nation on the face of the earth kills babies like America does. Kamala Harris. Build her entire campaign on abortion. First vice president to ever visit an abortion death mill. You don't think Kamala Harris has the spirit of Jezebel? The blood of 70 million dead babies cries from America, cries out to God from the ground. And what is Donald Trump going to do about it? First day in office, he will end all federal funding for abortion. First day in office. Ordained by God. We know that Donald Trump is ordained by God because he's just like Jehu, who is ordained by God. Absolutely the last person you would ever think would ever get the job. Jehu wasn't a politician. He was an outsider. Donald Trump is not a politician. He's an outsider. Jehu was a military commander. He was a warrior and a fighter. Donald Trump is a warrior and a fighter. You go after him, he's coming after you. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 20. People thought Jehu was crazy because he was unpredictable and nobody knew exactly what he was going to do next. And I think the original Hebrew said he had orange hair and a Twitter account. People think Donald Trump is crazy because he's unpredictable and nobody knows exactly what he's going to do next. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, but Kevin, Donald Trump is a sinner. Join the club. You don't think Jehu is a sinner? People, God's ways are not our ways. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, God raises up kings and leaders that he chooses. And God does not need your permission or your approval to do it either. You say, well, Kevin, here's what I think about Donald Trump. But hear that? You hear that? That's the sound of God not caring what you think about Donald Trump. You may not want anything to do with him, but God does. Because hard times call for hard men. And nobody, all the conservatives in this country would have never, ever voted for any other Republican candidate but him. He's not the person everybody may want. He is the person that everybody needs. And you tell me, what other Republican candidate could have stood in there and taken all the heat that Donald Trump did for 8 years? Or have we forgotten the hell that that man went through on the way to the White House? Russian collusion hoax. The only president to be impeached 2 times on phony charges. 4 bogus indictments that tried to put him in prison for 700 years. People claim that he incited an insurrection on January the 6th. 15 states tried to take his name off the ballot. A kangaroo court in New York said that he was guilty of fraud so the left could call him a convicted felon. They tried to kill the man 4 times last year, people. You don't think he was ordained by God? He had to beat Hillary Clinton in 2016. Then he had to beat Kamala Harris in 2024. The only man in the history of the world to win an argument against a woman. Twice. You don't think Donald Trump was ordained by God? I got this email last September. Pastor Garner, what is this obsession that you have with Donald Trump? Because I hate the man with every fiber of my being, and he is so evil. I honestly think he's the beast in the book of Revelation. I hate him so much, I almost throw up when I see him on TV. And he's ruining my life because he's all I think about. And I think about him so much, I can't even sleep at night. So how can you be so obsessed with him? Who's obsessed with Donald Trump? People, let me ask you, does Donald Trump live in your head 24/7, 365? Because he doesn't live in mine. And I voted for the guy 3 different times. People, listen, it's not about Donald Trump. It's about how God is using Donald Trump in this country to accomplish his purposes. Donald Trump and his victory were ordained by God's hand. And how do we know that? King Jehu of Israel is a really good model for Donald Trump because, people, there is just something about Donald Trump and the nation of Israel and the number 7. 7 in the Bible, the number of God's perfection and completion. Donald Trump did all kinds of things for Israel. He recognized Israel's ownership of the Golan Heights. He moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And he was the first U.S. president to ever pray at the Western Wall. And Donald Trump was born exactly 700 days before the nation of Israel was founded on May 14, 1948. He beat Hillary Clinton by 77 electoral votes in 2016, which was the Hebrew year 5777. And when he was elected, Forbes listed him as the 777th richest man in the world. He was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old his first day in office in 2017. And his first day in office was also Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's 7th year, 7th month, and 7th day in office. Anybody else see God's hand on Donald Trump? And I know there's people thinking, well, Kevin, is Donald Trump even really saved? And the only thing I can say is I don't know, and you don't know either. I know at least 6 different Christian leaders who claim to have led him to Christ, everybody from Phil Robertson to Paula White. And I know something that I can't tell anybody from somebody who works in a big international Christian ministry that leads me to believe he really does know the Lord. And folks, for Donald Trump, his salvation matters more than anything else in the whole wide world. But I've got to tell you, as far as how God is using Donald Trump in our country in such a time as this, it doesn't matter at all. Because Donald Trump was not called to be the pastor of your church. He was called to be the president of your country. It's not Donald Trump's job to lead people to Christ. Donald Trump's job is to protect your constitutional right to religious freedom so you can lead people to Christ. We realize no man can save this country because our biggest problem is not political, it's spiritual. Donald Trump realizes that too.
Unknowingly, you use the word savior a lot, and our country needs a savior right now, and our country has a savior. And that's not me. That's somebody much higher up than me. Much higher up. We just do what we have to do.
Donald Trump knows he's not the savior. He knows Jesus is. And Donald Trump also knows that there's a Lord who saved his life.
And God has now spared my life. It must have been God. Thank you.
Not once, but twice. And there are those that say he did it because Trump is going to turn this state around. He's going to turn this country around. He's going to make America great again.
Donald Trump realizes there he needs to be humble. And he was. That Donald Trump is humble. And he realizes that there's a God. And he realizes that God spared his life two different times for a special purpose. And that's to help make America great again. Does anybody else see the hand of God on Donald Trump, or is it just me? Now, Trump hater John Piper said this. Donald Trump is guilty of sexual immorality, boastfulness, vulgarity, and factiousness, sins that are all toxic and deadly to a nation. People, isn't it amazing how self-righteous hypocrites can be so sensitive about Donald Trump's sin and not even see their own? John Piper doing. You say, well, Kevin, Donald Trump is obnoxious. Folks, every one of us is obnoxious to somebody. You want to see the letters I get every week? Here's what Donald Trump said, or what John Piper said on election night after Trump had won. Having delivered us from one evil, God now tests us with another. Then he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. The Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord with all your heart and soul. No! For the 20 billionth time, we do not worship Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is not God. God is just using Donald Trump in this country as a vessel to get the power back to the people and to turn this nation back to its founding principles so we can be one nation under God again, like the Lord and our founding fathers intended, for however much more time God gives us before Jesus comes back. Something that John Piper and all the other clueless Christians don't understand and don't even think about because they hate Donald Trump even more than they love this country. During his first term, 2016 to 2020, Donald Trump was the most conservative, the most pro-Christian, pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-religious freedom president in the history of our nation. And how do we know that anointing of Jehu was still on Donald Trump for a second term? Get this, just this past August the 20th, August 20th, very first night of the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. That first night, all the leftists immediately started Free Palestine and Death to Israel. Exactly how many days later was the election? Exactly 77 days later, November the 5th, 2024, Donald Trump was elected 47th president of the United States. You can't make that stuff up, people. That was not luck. It was not coincidence. It's not the flying fickle finger of fate. That is the hand of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. This is the wisdom of the Lord. So I don't care two hoots and a holler what you think about Donald Trump. It's not about Donald Trump. It's all about God's hand. The first thing we need to do to wise up about this victory, we need to realize it was ordained by God's hand. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to wise up about this victory. Not only need to realize it was ordained by God's hand, we also need to realize it was ordered for our blessing. And that's also what we see here in verses 4 through 10. Because the purpose of this victory was not to glorify Donald Trump or to carve his name on the side of Mount Rushmore. Last September, a 34-year-old woman named Candy Clausen in Albany, New York, got a picture of Donald Trump's face tattooed on her butt. And why? Because she said she wanted everybody to know that she was behind Donald Trump. Well, I'm behind the guy too, but not like that. That's crazy. Verses 6 through 10. Jehu was given victory so he could go to the capital city and tell Joram and Jezebel, you're fired, and then drain the swamp and make Israel great again. Donald Trump was given victory. So he could go to the capital city, Washington, D.C., tell Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you're fired, and then drain the swamp and help make America great again. The victory is a blessing to help the nation turn back to God. But folks, we got to realize that blessing is never going to come if we don't get rid of the dynasty that's still ruling this country. The absolute most radical, evil, demonic, anti-Christian administration in the history of this nation. Starting with pretend president and pretend Catholic Joe Biden. The most evil, corrupt person to ever occupy the White House. And yes, I do pray for him. Over and over again, like a broken record, Joe Biden said over and over again, I will never pardon my son, Hunter Biden. I will never pardon my son, Hunter Biden, until last December the 4th when he pardoned his son, Hunter Biden. And that pardon explicitly grants clemency for any and all potential federal crimes that Hunter Biden may have committed or been a part of from January 1st, 2014 through December the 1st, 2024. In other words, all the while, Hunter Biden was shaking down Ukraine and the gas company Burisma and selling his father's political influence to enemy countries all over the world for the Biden crime family. So Joe Biden didn't just pardon his son. He was trying to pardon himself to keep the truth from coming out. Joe Biden turned Easter Sunday into National Transgender Day of Visibility. Got 13 U.S. Marines killed in Afghanistan and gave $100 billion worth of our weapons to the Taliban terrorists. And Joe Biden keeps pouring billions and billions of dollars into that never-ending war in Ukraine. See Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky's wife standing next to her brand new $4.8 million Bugatti luxury car? See where your tax money is going? See how all that military aid to Ukraine is being spent? Meanwhile, American citizens here, victims of Hurricane Helene, are still living in tents in North Carolina. The Biden administration purposely flooded this country with 12 million illegals. And now 325,000 migrant children have gone missing at the border. Gee, I wonder what happened to them. Remember the little two-year-old girl who showed up at the southern border last November all by herself holding a piece of paper with a phone number on it? Do you know what that phone number was for? A strip club in Las Vegas. Gee, I wonder what happened to her. 2 weeks ago, the Biden DOJ extended the immunity for every COVID vaccine company from Pfizer to Moderna and everybody in between. Immunity from all lawsuits until the year 2029. And why? Because they know that the clot shot kills people. The number of deaths up 40% since pre-COVID levels in 2020. And 90% of those deaths are from heart attacks and cancer. 18 million. Excess deaths and counting. Folks, it's the absolute most diabolical Holocaust in the history of the world. And to this day, not one person, not one single person has ever been held accountable for it. The Biden administration cut razor wire at the southern border so more illegals could get into the country. They purposely pulled Secret Service protection for Donald Trump to try to get him killed in Butler, Pennsylvania. Queering kids behind their parents' back. Arresting parents for domestic terrorism, for speaking up at school board meetings. Putting grandmothers in prison just for praying at abortion clinics. Listen, I don't care what you think about Donald Trump. You better get down on your knees and thank the Lord God Almighty in heaven above the man got elected. For our blessing. Because the good news is the victory that Donald Trump won last November the 5th is our victory too. And what's even better, that victory's already started, even before Donald Trump has been inaugurated. Right after November the 5th, Hamas wanted to end the war in Gaza. Russia wanted to end the war in Ukraine. Multiple caravans of illegals heading toward the southern border have turned around. The stock market is soaring. Facebook says they will now stop censoring conservative posts. Companies from McDonald's to Walmart to John Deere are scrapping all their DEI policies. Fake news outlets like CNN and MSNBC are going bankrupt and tanking. I could go on and on. It's called the Trump effect. Victory, people. Back in 2020. A woman named Cheryl Luther, Dallas, Texas, was told she had to close her hair salon because of COVID. But she had stylists that couldn't feed their kids if they weren't working. And when she refused to close her hair salon, she got arrested and put in jail for it. In America, people. But then what do you know? The nanosecond Shelley Luther got out of jail, she reopened her shop. And she's never closed it since, even in spite of all kinds of death threats. And not only that, last year, she ran for office and was elected in a landslide to the Texas state legislature. So what happened to her would never happen to anybody else. She went from the big house to the state house, people. That's what you call victory. How about that for victory? Last Monday, January the 6th. Vice President Kamala Harris, as President of the Senate, had to certify all the votes from the Electoral College that officially made Donald Trump the next President of the United States, the guy that she was campaigning against. You say, well, Kevin, don't you feel even a little bit sorry for her? Absolutely not. No, I pray for Kamala Harris and I pray for her salvation. But that woman's got the spirit of Jezebel. As Attorney General of California, she could not arrest and put in jail enough pro-life protesters. She bailed Black Lives Matter rioters out of jail. As the borders are, she's responsible for hundreds of thousands of children being abused and raped and murdered. She's the biggest child sex trafficker in the history of the whole wide world. All the smirking she did during the debate with Donald Trump, calling him Hitler, calling him a Nazi sympathizer. Remember when she said that?
Anyone who has called for the, quote, termination of the Constitution of the United States, as Donald Trump has, must never again stand behind the seal of the President of the United States.
Well, then there she was last Monday, January the 6th, on the fourth anniversary of the day that was supposed to have buried Donald Trump forever and ever, having to certify the fact that Donald Trump beat her brains in. This is what it looked like.
Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
Do you see the look on Mike Johnson's face? You don't think there's a God of justice? People, that's what victory looks like. And listen to me, don't you dare ever fail to accept it or try to apologize for it either. Hottest thing in all of sports last year in America was Caitlin Clark, a born-again Christian who plays for the Indiana Fever and the women's NBA. She went to the University of Iowa, where she set all kinds of scoring records and led the Hawkeyes to the national championship game against South Carolina. And then she was drafted number one player overall into the women's NBA. And folks, Caitlin Clark has got all the tools. But the most incredible thing about her game, that girl shoots three-pointers from the dark side of the moon. She crosses center court, you better get a hand up, because she's going to put it up.
Clark, as Lainey Hamilton has been to Caitlin Clark all night tonight.
Are you talking about my high school experience?
Clark, cut it! On a deep three! Katie Lou Samuelson can't hit the long two. Stays here with Indiana. Clark, a deep one. You bet!
She shoots even further out than the men do in the NBA. And get this, she's hitting a whopping 61% of those three-pointers. The best three-point shooter in the NBA right now, Luke Kennard of the Memphis Grizzlies, only hits 44% of his threes. She shoots half-court shots better than Meadowlark Lemon or the Harlem Globetrotters. And because of that, she was named WNBA Rookie of the Year. And because of that, everybody and their brother went gaga over Caitlin Clark. And people actually started paying attention to the WNBA. When Caitlin Clark was playing for the first time ever, stadiums were full. And total attendance and TV ratings for games were at all-time highs. Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever had their highest attendance ever. There were more sellout crowds, more streaming service subscriptions, more merchandise sales than at any other time in the history of the WNBA, all because of Caitlin Clark. And folks, all the other players hated her for it. Hated her with a purple prickly pear passion. And they took out that jealousy on her on the court with all kinds of cheap shots.
Caitlin Clark has been cleared due to the amount of cheap shots and flagrant fouls she's received so far in her rookie season. Doesn't seem like that much, but the issue is that 5 of these 30 flagrant fouls have been committed against Caitlin Clark.
Now, the vast majority of those flagrant fouls were by black players, because 90% of the WNBA is black and 2/3 of them are lesbians. So no straight white cracker is ever going to draw the attention away from them onto her. But what they don't realize, folks, nobody cared a whit about the WNBA before Caitlin Clark came along. The league was losing $40 million a year. And the only reason it stays afloat is because it's subsidized by the NBA. Last year, the best year the WNBA had, they still lost $54 million. Folks, Caitlin Clark is the WNBA. And not because she's arrogant, not because she's racist, not because she puts the other players down. It's simply because she is flat out good, because that girl has worked her butt off since she was 5 years old to be the absolute best female basketball player and three-point shooter in all of America. People, can you imagine the time and the blood and the sweat and the tears that that girl put in to be able to play like she does? And because of that, she was named Time Magazine Athlete of the Year for 2024. But then this is what Caitlin Clark said about it. I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there's definitely white privilege. A lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. The league has kind of been built on them, so the more attention they get, the better. What? How can there be white privilege in professional basketball? 90% of the players are black. You talk about sucking up. You talk about cowtown. You talk about woke DEI claptrap. Oh, I'm white, and I know that, and I'm apologize for it. I am so sorry. So let's just give everything to the black players. No. Color doesn't matter a hill of beans. That girl got that award because she deserved it, because she killed herself. You're developing and using all the talent that God had given her. So for crying out loud, just accept the award, enjoy it, and give the glory to the Lord. Christians, listen to me. Last Tuesday, November the 5th, woke died. DEI died. Leftism died, and you won. Because the victory that God gave to this country through Donald Trump is your victory too. And don't you ever, ever, ever apologize to Jezebel for it either. You have the spirit and the anointing of Jehu all over your life. And that is not a curse. It is a blessing. Because the spirit of Jehu always, always, always beats the spirit of Jezebel. So I don't care what you're dealing with right now. You don't give in, you don't give up, and you don't get down, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, God always, always, always gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing we need to understand about this victory, it was ordered for our blessing. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to see about this victory so that we can maximize it. Not only is that victory ordained by God's hand, not only is that victory ordered by God, but third, the victory was engineered by the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 11 to 13. Now the prophet anoints Jehu on the down low in secret, and then he gets the heck out of there as fast as he possibly can. Because all those men were the personal king's bodyguard, handpicked by evil King Joram himself. So if any of those men are still loyal to the old king, that prophet is dead meat. But notice verse 13, when Jehu tells them, I was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Those guys are all in. The Holy Spirit changed their hearts. So verse 13, they roll out the red carpet. They blow the trumpet. They say, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Long live King Jehu. Folks, you don't think it was the Holy Spirit that engineered that victory for him? And you don't think it was the Holy Spirit that engineered the victory for Donald Trump on November the 5th? All races, colors, and religions voted for Donald Trump. Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, even the Amish. 97% of all first-time voters voted for Trump. 80% of white people, a record 1 out of 4 black men, and 47% of Hispanics voted for Trump. A whopping 50% of all young people ages 18 to 29 voted for Donald Trump. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. The greatest political comeback in the history of this country. 77 million people voted for Donald Trump. He got more votes than any other Republican candidate has ever gotten in history. He won the Electoral College 312 to 226. He won the popular vote by almost 2.5 million votes. You look at the map of how the counties in the United States voted. People, if it was a fight, they'd have stopped it. Donald Trump now has the White House. He's got the House of Representatives. He's got the Senate. He's got the Supreme Court. This isn't a victory. This is a mandate. I haven't seen a man beat a woman like that since the Olympics. And why did it happen? Donald Trump said this last December the 5th.
It's going to be a golden age. There's a spirit that we have now that we didn't have just a short while ago.
There's a spirit that we have now that wasn't there even a short while ago. That's the Holy Spirit. This victory was engineered by the Holy Spirit of God. And how do we know that? That name Jehu in the original Hebrew literally means Yahweh is the one true God. And folks, just think about all the things that happened during the campaign that pointed people to God.
New footage has emerged revealing just how close Donald Trump came to death when he was shot at his Pennsylvania rally on July 13th. A computer-generated 3D visualization made by social media account Point Consciousness shows a bird's-eye view of the bullet skimming Donald Trump's ear right after the former president moved his head.
Remember how Donald Trump was 2 centimeters away from getting the back of his head blowed off in Butler, Pennsylvania before God reached down and just turned his head ever so slightly to preserve his life? Remember what Kamala Harris said at that rally in La Crosse, Wisconsin, when a Christian stood up and said, Jesus is Lord?
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
Remember what J.D. Vance said when somebody at one of his rallies said Jesus is king?
Anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. Jesus is king. And I don't think that we've seen.
You don't think God was engineering that campaign? And even though the lamestream media never covered it at all, last October the 12th was the 1 Million Women March in Washington, D.C. Only those women weren't wearing pea hats and screaming for abortion. Those women were Christians, and they went to the nation's capital, to Washington, D.C., to pray and to cry out to God and to repent on behalf of this country, like 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says. You don't think the Holy Spirit took notice of that? Of course he did. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris at her rallies was having Lizzo twerk on stage and having Oprah Winfrey blabbering on about how Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. Like anybody cares what Oprah says about anything anymore anyway. Kamala Harris's campaign was engineered by man. Donald Trump's campaign was engineered by the Holy Spirit for victory. And people, listen to me. We better be seeing the Holy Spirit working, because right now our nation is in a spiritual battle up to its eyeballs. This brand new year did not creep in on little cat feet. It busted through the door like a bull in a china shop. Very first day of the year, January the 1st, a Muslim terrorist named Samsu Jabbar drove his truck through a crowd of people on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, killing 15 of those people and injuring 32 others. And the FBI said they have no idea what his motive might have been, no idea why he'd have done it. Seriously, maybe the ISIS flag he had in his truck was a clue. And see, Joe Biden says white supremacists is the biggest threat to America. White supremacists meaning all you people who voted for Donald Trump. That same day, another whack job named Matthew Leibelsberger blew up a Tesla Cybertruck in front of the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. And if that wasn't enough, now here comes the bird flu. Last week, the media told us the first person in America has now died from it. What the media didn't tell you, though, is he was a 65-year-old man with all kinds of serious health problems. And of course the media didn't tell you that, because the goal is to scare the living hell out of you so that you will shut up and line up and jab up all over again. Because of course, the CDC already has gazillions and gazillions of doses of mRNA bird flu vaccines just waiting for you. People, we didn't learn anything from COVID at all. And now a virologist named Peter Hotez says he even knows the exact day when bird flu is going to paralyze and shut down the country again. What's the day? January the 21st. What do you know? Donald Trump's first full day in office. People, it's deja vu all over again. You don't think America's under the judgment of God? You don't think we're in a spiritual battle right now? The picture you see on the screen is not Hiroshima, Japan, after the atom bomb. That's Pacific Palisades, California. 75% of it gone. 5 different wildfires burning around Los Angeles, spread by winds over 100 miles an hour. Dozen people killed, thousands and thousands of homes and businesses destroyed, burned to the ground. One guy in Palisades took a video of the fire and the flames raging just outside of his house.
Just do it. okay. You're going to be okay. All right? You're going to be okay.
People, it looks like the gates of hell. And why did that happen? Well, what do you know? Last month, the California State Legislature passed a bill, AB 1955, that makes it illegal. Illegal for teachers in California schools to tell parents if their kids are transitioning. And when did that new law go into effect? Just this past January the 1st. What do you know? The exact same day that the worst of those wildfires got started. You know what the biggest reason is? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. God says, whatever you do to my people, I'll do to you. And for the last 4 years, the Biden administration has done nothing but slam the Jewish people every which way but loose. Joe Biden constantly pressured Israel to give up land to create a so-called Palestinian state. The Biden DOJ stood by and did absolutely nothing while Jew hate rallies spread all over college campuses all over America. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations did nothing to help Israel invade Gaza and invade to root out the terrorists. Joe Biden purposely withheld weapons and intel from IDF so they couldn't invade Rafah and kill even more terrorists. Kamala Harris's last campaign rally, Washington, D.C., over 75,000 people turned out to shout death to Israel. And every single time there was an election in Israel, Joe Biden sent henchmen over there to try to manipulate it to get Benjamin Netanyahu thrown out of office. So God says, you mess with my election, I'll mess with yours. And what's the result? Donald Trump is going to be 47th president of the United States. And how do we know that was really engineered by the Holy Spirit? The book of Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. And he tells them that in the future, the children of Israel would be scattered all over the world. But that in the last days, they would start coming back to the land. And God would resurrect the nation of Israel from the dead. But Moses said, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22, before that happened, a stranger would come to Israel from a faraway place. When Israel was a barren wasteland. And the stranger would write about Israel being a barren wasteland. And God would use that to eventually restore the nation of Israel back to what it was originally supposed to be. Well, then what do you know? In the year 1867, a stranger did go to Israel from a faraway place, a place called the United States of America. And he saw how desolate Israel was. And he wrote about how desolate Israel was in a book called Innocents Abroad. And that book made that stranger from America very famous, a very famous author. His name was Mark Twain. And that year, 1867, set in motion prophetically all kinds of events that eventually led to the restoration of the nation of Israel. Stuff that's even going on to this day. Because that year, 1867, is what's called a Jubilee year. Every 50 years, when everything that's lost to somebody is returned to them. So whatever you lose, your house, your land, your property, your possessions, whatever you lose, it gets returned to you. And if somebody is already on your land, if there's a squatter there trying to occupy it, all you need to do is say, get off my land, get off my lawn, and they get off. And nobody, and I mean nobody, has ever lost their land like the Jewish people had. Ever since in 1867, 50 years later, was Jubilee year 1917. And 1917 saw World War I with empires rising and falling. And the empire that controlled Israel was the Ottoman Empire. And there was no way those Muslims were ever going to give the land of Israel back to the Jews. But Jubilee year, the occupiers have to leave. So what do you know? 1917, British General Edmund Allenby took the city of Jerusalem without firing a shot. And British Foreign Minister Arthur Balfour signed the Balfour Declaration that designated the land of Israel as a homeland for the Jewish people. The land went back to the people who originally owned it. And the Jewish people started moving back to Israel from all over the planet, just like Bible prophecy said they would. Then May 14, 1948, the nation of Israel was founded, but the Jewish people still didn't possess their capital city of Jerusalem. So the next Jubilee year, 1917 plus 50 years, was 1967 and the Six-Day War and the next event in Bible prophecy when Israel was surprise attacked by all the surrounding Muslim nations. But the Israelis beat their enemies like a drum. And in just 6 days, the Jewish people won and took control of the city of Jerusalem. And for the first time in over 2,000 years, the first time since the Roman Empire, the Jews possessed the city of Jerusalem. Because in Jubilee, the land goes back to the original owners. And then the Jews went to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, their holiest site, where Herod's temple was, to the western wall. Now, for Jubilee, you need a trumpet to sound. And then what do you know? All of a sudden, the Jewish soldiers heard a trumpet sounding on the Temple Mount. A rabbi blowing a shofar or a ram's horn. The trumpet was sounding. It was Jubilee. And even more, the land and the city of Jerusalem was going back to the Jewish people. Now, during Jubilee, your legal right to the land is also restored to you. But the problem was, even though in 1967, the city of Jerusalem had been returned to the Jewish people, nobody acknowledged or recognized that the Jewish people had a legal right to their capital city. It's the only capital city in the world that was never recognized or acknowledged. Now, members of the United Nations and world leaders and every president since Harry S. Truman, they all acknowledged that the Jewish people had a stake in the city of Jerusalem, but they would never say that the Jewish people legally owned the city of Jerusalem as their capital city because they didn't want to offend the so-called Palestinians, because the Palestinians claimed that Jerusalem was the capital of their fictional Never Never Land Palestinian state. So the next Jubilee year, 1967 plus 50 years, was 2017. Now, the very first year of his reign, Cyrus, the king of Persia in 550 B.C., he did declare that Jerusalem was a legal right owned by the Jewish people and the capital of their nation of Israel. And what do you know? The very first year of his presidency, December 17th, 2017, Donald Trump signed what's called the Jerusalem Declaration, officially declaring and recognizing that the Jewish people had a legal right to the city of Jerusalem. The first time any president had ever done that. The first time any world leader had ever done that in almost 2,500 years. And when did King Cyrus do it? After the 70 years Babylonian captivity. When did Donald Trump do it? 70 years after Israel technically, legally became a nation. December 17th, 1947. Folks, December 17th, 2017. That's 70 years to the day. You don't think this whole thing was engineered by the Holy Spirit? And you can bet your life Donald Trump wasn't studying Bible prophecy. He didn't choose December the 17th. God did. People, the Bible is true. Bible prophecy being fulfilled down to the very day. You don't think this whole thing is engineered by the Holy Spirit? Because listen, in order for that to happen, in order for that Bible prophecy to be fulfilled, in order for God's plan to come about in the first year of that ruler's reign, that meant there had to be an election in the United States of America towards the end of 2016. And because Jubilee is all about the trumpet, that means one of the candidates had to be named Trump. And Trump had to win. You don't think this whole thing was engineered by the Holy Spirit? Jubilee is all about the trumpet. Donald Trump's last name means what? Trumpet. To have Jubilee, you've got to have a trumpet. To have Jubilee, you've got to have a Trump. The Trump sounds during the year of Jubilee. Everything you lost gets returned to you, including a presidency that was taken away from you. It gets returned to you too. Now, even more important than the year of Jubilee is the spirit of Jubilee. And how do we know that Donald Trump has it? Donald Trump signed the Jerusalem Declaration December 17th, 2017. Exactly 7 years later, just this past December 17th, 2024, electors met in Washington, D.C. to officially make Donald Trump the next president of the United States. 7 years to the day! You can't make this stuff up, people! How many swing states decided the 2024 election? Seven. How many of the seven swing states did Donald Trump win in this election? Seven. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Jubilee. The presidency going back to the person that it was originally belonged to, that had it taken away from, which means Donald Trump had to serve two terms. And Donald Trump had to beat Hillary Clinton, and he also had to beat Kamala Harris, because the Hillary couldn't sound, and the Kamala couldn't sound, only the Trump could sound. Engineered by the Holy Spirit. So listen to me. I don't care what you think about Donald Trump. God has prepared this man his entire life for this moment. And what's the blessing that's going to come to us and come to this country as a result? Our country that has been taken away from us is going to be returned to us too. to the ones that belongs to the born-again Christians who love God and country. So if you're sitting in this church right now and you're listening to this sermon and you are sick and tired of having your land taken away from you, if you are sick and tired of watching the leftists trash this country and claim it was never a Christian nation, if you are sick and tired of seeing the communists trying to turn America into a Marxist hellhole, if you are sick and tired of the illegals flooding this country for everything free and not wanting to become Americans, and all the criminal illegals coming into our country and killing our own citizens and trying to take over, if you are sick and tired of seeing the radicals trying to take away your gas-powered car and your gas water heater and your gas grill and trying to turn your kids' school into an indoctrination center and trying to turn your kids into genderqueer unicorns, if you are sick and tired of having your land taken away, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Stand up in this church. Every single one of you. Because we're going to get that land back today. Spirit of Jubilee. In Jubilee, the land goes back to the people it was originally given to. So with the spirit of Jubilee, the anointing of Jehu on everybody in here, and the trump sounding louder than it ever has before, on a count of three, I want you to tell all the interlopers as loud as you can at the top of your lungs, get off my land. And when you do that, they have to get off. Everybody ready? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Get off my land.
Oh, that's not good enough. The devil didn't even hear you that time. Let's try it again. One, two, three.
Get off my land.
That's better, but I still see some squatters sitting around over here. Let's try it one more time on the count of three. One, two, three.
Get off my land.
That's better. And you know what? Now I can hear the sound of victory in the camp. Get off our land so the people can come to know Christ and get saved. And this nation can be born again and godly again until Jesus comes back. Everybody in this room still standing. Our text this morning is about the anointing of King Jehu. Exactly the same anointing that every single one of us in this room needs right now. And notice, the Holy Spirit took 13 verses to tell us about it. And you know why? Because that anointing matters. And it matters a lot. Because of no anointing, there's no victory. Right. Tony, everybody right now that's standing up, would you close your eyes and just put your hand up in the air? You're saying, Lord, here I am. I want to receive everything that you have for me this morning. We're going to pray that God pours out his Holy Spirit. In a world of Jezebels, you're called to be a Jehu. You cannot do that without the anointing of Jehu. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would fall on every single one of us. Lord, these are the last days. You've given us an incredible victory here, not just political. Even more importantly, it is spiritual. The greatest opportunity the church has ever had to win people to Christ and get them into the kingdom. I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would just be poured out on every single one of us. Lord, we receive it from you today. And God is telling you today, Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, I have raised you up that you might receive my power so that my name might go throughout the entire earth. We receive it today. And folks, I got to tell you, eyes closed, your hands are up. You're going to be a Jehu in a Jezebel world. You're going to have to fight. Now, the victory's already won. It was won 2,000 years ago at the cross. But you still have to show up on the battlefield. But here's the good news. You don't have to run away. You don't have to have a cow. You don't have to freak out. The victory's already won. You just need to go. And when your enemy comes, you just lift up your hand. When the enemy comes, you just start praising the Lord. When the enemy comes with that Jehu anointing, you just raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies.
Hallelujah. comes to fight for me. I'm gonna say, in the middle of a storm,
my prayer.